Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you.
I'm very excited for this message just because this isn't the first time I've taught on this, but it's also something that I find close to my own heart and just experience when it comes to community and friendships, because that's what we're talking about today, community and friendships. And I think it was perfect with what Nick said at the start before worship, just like, God's really been shifting my perspective on church lately and just the where we are and the season of life we're in and like what an opportunity we have to actually get to know one another in a setting so intimate. I think we miss that. I've become so used to big church settings and it's so easy to just go to church and be just a face there. But here we have the opportunity to be fully known and fully loved. And that's what God's reminding me of and what I'm witnessing here. And so, yeah, the message, you've probably heard me say this before and you'll probably hear me say it again, is community communicates Christ. And that's the title of this message. And I've taught this before and I will teach this again, because I think it's a very great reminder, and I think it's something to always keep close to our hearts. And last time I taught this, I went through a story and brought you guys a bunch of verses. This time we're going to do it differently. We're going to go over the verses, and we're not going to go through the story. The story I originally went over was the paralytic man who was healed by Jesus because the company of his friends that brought him through the roof to get healed. But this time we're going to go more in depth of the verses I shared, which were a lot of Proverbs, some in Psalms and Ecclesiastes, and we're going to go more in depth of friendship and community. And so before we start, I'm going to pray, because prayer is great, and I think it's very powerful when we pray. So God, I just thank you for this time. And I just thank you for everyone here. I thank you for everyone online. I just pray that you speak through me. It'd be your words and not mine. I just pray that we'd be encouraged and be reminded of the friend we have in you and the friend we have in the church as a whole, Lord. And I just pray that we'd learn new things, be reminded of things, Lord. And I just thank you for this opportunity. I pray this in your name. Amen. And so tonight's going to be more topical. The past sermons I've taught have been more exegesis, where we've read through verses, give you the context. And today, tonight, I just feel a little more topical than usual. But I think there's a lot of meat to this topic. And don't give me that look, Nick. Anyway, sorry. I think there's just a lot to this specific topic of friendship and community, and I don't think we talk about it well. I think we live in a day and age where culture really pushes us to independency. Be your own person, be an individual, achieve things because you're the only one that's gonna do it. You can't rely on other people. I think we live in a society that really pushes that. And I think it's become so ingrained in us, like not that being independent and being able to take care of yourself is a bad thing, being able to do things on your own is a bad thing. This is not to say anything against those skill sets. This is more so how I think Western society has created a counterculture in what should be normal. So this push for independence and individuality has created in us a difficult thing of really asking for help, allowing people to actually know who we are without the hindrance of ooh, if they know this, they might leave. If they know this about me, they might not like me. If I don't look a certain way, if I don't act a certain way, these relationships just might be transactional. And when we read the Bible and when we see relationships and friendships within the Bible, more often than not, we see the more unconditional acts of relationships, specifically through Jesus and a lot of the disciples and a lot of the characters will learn about this. And so as I studied this or as I prepped my notes, I had to think about, okay, I'll share a little bit about my experience. And growing up, I lived in with the mental state that it's just me and my family and some of my friends. But the idea of friendship and the idea of my friends and what I thought were friendships were very shallow, very surface level of the point of like, we go to the same schools, we hang out. I invite them over to my house, we play video games or we do some just social activity, and that was my equation to friendship. That's what equated to a friendship for me. And when it came to family, I had the same idea because I was born in this family, it's my ride or die. And when it comes to just biblical friendship in general, friendship isn't only just blood ties, it's also the family you choose. And so when I look back on my experiences, this is also why I love being in a small environment, because I could call out people and share examples. And one person I'm looking at is Thomas. And there's a lot of friends that aren't currently physically here in our presence, but there's Christian and Zach. Like, I've known the three of them for, 7 years now. And I remember when I was going through this very heavy season of life, where God was giving me the opportunity to be fully known by people and fully loved, but part of me was very terrified of that. That I put on this facade that I did all this, I was part of leadership, I was an intern, I do all these things, but if people knew the deepest, darkest secrets about me, they're gonna leave. They're not gonna want anything to do with me. And so when I look back at those times, and I remember stepping outside one of our young adult services a long time ago with Thomas. Not that long ago, 7 years ago. It's not that long ago. But I remember pulling him outside. We sat outside, and I just was very honest with him about my struggles and what I was going through and the secrets I kept holding within myself that I thought I couldn't share with people. My only idea was only God knows, which is true. But when it came to his people, I was like, I can't allow that because if they know, like, I'm gonna get ostracized, I'm gonna get kicked out of leadership, or all these shameful thoughts came to mind. But I was met by love, I was met by grace. I remember sharing these experiences in my past with people, and they just embraced me. My friends, right? That's what defined a friendship for me right away. When I saw those qualities in these guys, because at first, I'd say I was still very arm's length distance from a lot of my friends at the time 7 years ago. And to where I'm at now, it's two different worlds. And so as we dive into this idea of friendship and community, there's a few questions I asked and thought about from not only myself, but for us as a church and for us as individuals. The questions I asked is, okay, how do you define friendship? What is a biblical friendship? What are the qualities and characteristics of a friend or friends? And can you identify the difference of being in community and friendships? And so, as I sifted through these thoughts and questions, I have several verses that we're going to go through. And I think this is going to be slightly thorough, nothing crazy though. This is a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom I think we can learn from and apply to our lives. And the first verse I have is Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13, verse 20 reads this: "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whom you surround yourself with matters. The way you approach relationship and friendships will either bring us to a stronger construction of our faith or the destruction of it." And this is not to say you can't have friends outside of our faith. This is not to be like, oh, we only have to have Christian friends. Not saying you can't have relationship outside of that. But it is a matter of influence. It's a matter of who you're allowing to influence your life and your lifestyle. If you're only around worldly people outside of our faith, and you let that be the only things you're surrounded by, eventually that's gonna influence you. I think a lot of us Christians take on this mentality of a savior complex, and we think, oh, it's up to me. I have to do this saving. I have to be the influence there. And don't get me wrong, the power of presence is an amazing thing. The power of presence is an amazing thing. But if you're continuously pouring out from an empty cup, that cup is going to run dry and it's going to be influenced by other things. You're going to allow other things to be poured into your cup. And so that's something to be cautious about and something to be wise about. And then Proverbs 17:17 reads this: "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born through adversity." Simple as that. Friends show up unconditionally. Friends show up and love unconditionally. "Through thick and thin" is when friendship grows beyond that of family. A couple weeks ago or a month ago, I watched this clip. And it's an interview with Megan Faith Marshman. And if you heard her preach or teach, she has shared about her experience through grief because she's become a widow. And I remember watching this clip, and she's talking about being restless. And when she was going through that time of grief and probably still processing that, but the very freshness of it when she lost her husband, she was talking about restlessness, and she was talking about how one of her friends had shared with her that she was praying for, and one of her prayers was to be able to bear some of that weight, being able to bear the burden for her, for Megan, asking God if I could just bear a little bit of it so she could rest. And in that interview, she is talking about that she was able to get really great rest one of those nights, and that was because her friend was pleading, interceding on her behalf through her times of adversity. When Megan was going through that hard time, she had a friend that was pleading to God to just be able to bear some of it so that her friend could get some rest. And I think that's a challenge. I think that's something I don't necessarily specifically pray for. I think it's very easy for a lot of us to be like, oh, I'll pray for you. But how often do we actually be like, God, I pray I could take some of that weight for my friend. I pray that I could just, you know, if I know someone's going through it, do I pray prayers like that? Nothing wrong with praying for them. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't pray for them. But when I heard that interview, it shifted my perspective. It made me think, like, when I know one of my good friends is going through something, am I praying prayers like that? Am I asking God, can I just take some of this? Can I just bear some of that so they could get some rest? So that they could feel some peace? And so that was an interesting thing to me, that we have to be friends that are willing to go through adversity. That when things get hard, are we going to be there? Are we going to remain? Or are we going to buckle at the knees and run? And I think more often than not, society has taught us, we're looking for relationships that benefit us. We're looking for a transactional relationship. I think more often than not, not just here in the Christian circles, but just in circle, like living life in general, I think more often than not, people are looking for, what do I benefit from this relationship? What does this gain me? The Bible teaches us quite opposite of that. And I think that's going to be a challenge when it comes to friendship. Because trust me, I've had my fair share of disagreements with friends. But I've seen the growth when I've learned to have these hard, honest conversations when we're at strife with one another. And I've seen tremendous growth come from those things. And then continuing on to Proverbs 18:24. A man of many friends may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so here's the difference. There's nothing wrong with having a community. There is greatness in going to church and being involved in community. They're big environments to socialize. But here's the thing. If you're only going to church for community, but not building relationship and friendships with people, you're going to have a very shallow relationship. And that's not what we want when it comes to our walks. We are never meant to do life alone, but if we're only looking for community things, community type relationship where, oh, I'm going to this event because it's more a social gathering. Nothing wrong with that. I've gained great benefit in community, trust me. But when I started investing in friendship, this is where things changed. And so shallow relationships do not equate to a friendship. I think we really need to establish those two differences. This is not to say you can't have no community, but this is also understanding the difference between being involved in a community and also having friends within that community. Two very different experiences. You may, in a time where you are around a lot of peers in the same season of life, some mutual circles, the question to ask yourself is if you're fully known and fully loved by these, what you're labeling as friends. Like, who in these communities fully knows you and also fully loves you for good, bad, and in between? I think that's what really defines a friendship. Friends are going to become the family you choose. And that's what I think Proverbs 18:24 really shows us, is your friends are the family you choose. This is not to say relationship to your family is not important. There are friends that you will make that become family to you. I remember having a conversation with a couple friends 7 years ago. It sounds so long ago. But I remember, I think we were talking in my backyard, and this is when the definition of friends was really defined for me. And I remember like telling Thomas and a few other friends, I can't wait to have kids and then have them call you uncle. Like, to me, that's a very exciting thing. Like, these people are not my family, but I want my kids to know this is their family too. Like, when you're able to define friendships and relationships like that outside of blood ties, it's such an amazing experience. And we have such great opportunities to do that. And then in Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of the enemy. And this is a touchy subject because I think a lot of people misuse this verse as a way to speak truth without love. And when it comes to the idea of speaking truth, especially when it comes to open rebuke, there is relationship there. We can't just rebuke necessarily out of no relationship, because truth can't cross that bridge if there's no bridges built. You can't speak truth to someone if you haven't even worked on a relationship with someone. Because if you speak truth to someone and openly rebuke someone and have no relationship, it's going to come out more cruel than anything. What you say to them is going to sound more cruel and hurtful than compassionate and understanding. And that's hard because we Christians also need to be better at speaking truth in love, because love does not exist without relationship. Speaking to the truth to someone without friendship is just cruelty. More often than not, I have seen far too many Christians care more about speaking truth without the love and compassion for the other person. And us Christians, we understand the power of the tongue is very powerful. And this is not something we could take lightly. And it's a very fickle thing to juggle, trust me, because I've seen good and bad relationships. I've lost friendships due to disagreements. And I'm not saying this is an easy thing, and I'm not saying I've mastered this myself. I'm always learning. And I think we all should also be willing to learn more how to be a good friend and what are good friends. In Proverbs 27:9 reads this, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of friends comes from his earnest counsel." And that's simple. The counsel of a friend is sweet. When we have relationships and when we have good friendships, and you're able to go to someone, one of your friends, and ask for like, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me navigate?" Or simply even, "I can't even get myself out of bed. Can you hold me accountable?" Like, when we're able to build relationships like that, where we're able to be truthful and honest, and we have friends that are willing to walk with us through the hardest times, walk with us through the greatest times, and walk with us through everything in between, I think that's where we'll clearly understand friendship far more, the difference between being in communion with friends and just being in community. And then Proverbs 27:17, this is my last one in Proverbs, and it reads, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. The presence of friends makes you better." Simple as that. When we surround ourselves with other believers, when we surround ourselves with people that fully know us and fully love us, it is going to improve us. And then I have just four more verses. Psalms 133:1 reads this, "How good and pleasant it is when we dwell in unity." And if you've been here long enough, you've heard me say this before. We are a motley crew of people that don't make sense together, but because of Jesus, it works. That's the beauty of unity. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. We're all very different parts of the body. We're all very unique in what we like, what we dislike. And when we focus on Jesus being the head of the church, everything's going to follow suit. And it's going to work because we're united under the front of Jesus Christ. And it's simple. Ecclesiastes reads this, Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Accountability in community is better. Better life is when we do it with friends. When we do life with friends, when we allow community to start to become not just, "These are the people I hang out with, this is where I have a social life," but when you allow that community to start becoming friends with you, when you allow people to fully know you and fully love you and develop that friendship, man, what you're able to walk through is so much more. Like when I look back at my life and all the hardships I faced and the hardships I am facing, if it was not for my friends, if it was not for the people I surround myself with, I don't know where I'd be. I look back at my life in times where I have contemplated taking my life. And I remember making phone calls to either a few friends, Thomas, James, Christian, Zach, and whether it was 9 at night or 1 in the morning, I'd call them like, hey, I'm having a hard time. And being able to have a friend that was able to just listen or help me sift through these thoughts was an amazing thing, and it'll help me get through tough times. And it's allowed me to know that I could, without a doubt, stand firm in knowing I have those relationships, that I have friends that I could rely on, knowing that if I go through hard times, I am not alone because of the friends God has put into my life. And then lastly in Hebrews, it says this, 10:25, Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. Getting rooted in community, it's so easy for us to get caught up in FOMO. FOMO is the fear of missing out. Get bits of community everywhere, but is a great investment getting rooted in a community. Growing in a grove, when you allow yourself to stay planted in one place, not saying it's bad to church hop, it's not saying you could go to all these other events. There's a time and place for everything. I just knew after 26, I needed to stay at one place. I couldn't keep going out and about because eventually that was taking its toll on just how tired I was. Everything was fun and great, but it came to that point where I was like, okay, I need to slow down now and just, you know, root myself with the friends I have. Root myself with what's in front of me. And what an amazing thing. And so, how does the gospel tie into this? I think it's very simple. Jesus is the best example of relationship and friendship. Because Jesus was not afraid to speak truth in love, but he had relationship to those people. Jesus wasn't afraid to walk through hard things for the people he cared about. And he also shows us we are never meant to do life alone. We are meant to do life in communion with others, with other brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not to say you can't have relationship outside our faith, but we are to be conscientious about who and what we allow to influence us. And Jesus says these things in John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new command I give to you, love one another, as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this is to be quite honest, I think us Christians really struggle with that. I think we're very notorious, and I'm hoping here at Collective, we're building a community that is counteracting that. Counteracting that image that the world has of Christians being hypocritical, not adding up to who they say they are. And I hope here that we're building a culture that goes against that. Because I want to prove the world wrong. Not to be like, oh, I'm right. But the truth of the gospel and what Jesus did is real. And how are they going to know that? Is how we show love to one another. And continue it on in John 15, verses 12 to 17. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, my command to you is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. When we look to the cross and Jesus' life, he sets the example of friendship, not only to his disciples, but to us as well. Because later in this story, as the supper goes on and as he's talking to his disciples, he also has a prayer where he prays for us, his future disciples. And I remember when I read that, I was a mess. I remember reading that and reading Jesus' prayer about not just for his disciples, but over the future disciples. Like, I wept. I was like, God, Jesus was praying for me. That Jesus is a friend to me. I don't have to think of him any other way. He's not someone I just serve because he's the master of the house. No, I serve because he's my friend and he knows me. And here's the challenge. It's gonna be a hard thing. And it's gonna be a learning thing because I'm still learning. I have my stubbornness, trust me. My friends know me well enough that when I get in a mood, I can be a little petty. So it's one of those things. I'm not perfect at this. But the challenge is we could get better, and we could always get better. And part of that is learning how to love one another, fault and all. And that's what's going to communicate Christ to other people. That's what's going to make people feel invited in. When they see how us here interact with each other, how us here interact with whatever mishaps or miscommunications or bouts, issues, how we handle that together is going to show Christ to other people, or won't show Christ to other people. And so how we do life and how we do community is going to matter. And as we go into this time of silence and solitude, here's the challenge. You have those questions. Hopefully you wrote them down, but if not, I could repeat them again. I really want you to think about, okay, how do you yourself have defined friends? And now, as we've gone through these verses, what is a biblical friendship now? We hear what the Bible says about friends. See the two differences. What are the qualities and characteristics now of those friends? And then can you identify the difference of being in community and having friendships within the community? Because there's nothing wrong with community, but if that's all you have, and then something happens, and then you realize, oh, I don't have friends. That's going to be such a difficult time. And then after that, just 10 minutes, take the time, list your friends. And when you write their names down, intently pray for these friends. If you know which friends are going through something, like Megan's friend, like ask, okay, God, let me just bear a little bit of their burden. Help, how can I be of help to them? Like, pray for those things. Be intentional with those prayers. And not just being intentional with the prayers, but being an intentional friend. Like, even give this time, like, oh, be appreciative to a friend. Send out a thank you text. Send it like, hey, I'm thinking about you and I love you. What a great opportunity we have. And so in these next 10 minutes, I just challenge you to really think about that. Friends, community, who you're very grateful for to be your friend. And so 10 minutes. What a time. And but in closing, I just want to encourage us. This is not a dish or diss to be like, oh, everyone has bad friends. This is an encouragement, hopefully, to think about and what actually makes a good friend. Because I think more often than not, we are willing to accept scraps from anyone and everyone and not always look for good friends. And I did this last time I taught this, so I'm very excited to say this once more. And it's a fun quote, so say, you don't have to say it with me, I'll say it. There are wood ships, there are steel ships, but there are no ships like friendships. Amen?